The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What you missed on Weekend Mornings with Jason Dacey.
This is the Fitwell segment on Money FM 89.3. For that, I'd like to welcome back Ben Pullum, founder at Coach, to talk about training tips for the 2018 Standard Charter Singapore Marathon, 8th and 9th of December. We're talking about the 10K. Last time, Ben, you gave tips for the full marathon and the half marathon, but the 10K is quite a different prospect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little shorter, a little faster, a different kind of suffering.
Yeah, a different kind of suffering. And of course, you know, many of us have run, you know, we start with 5Ks, then we go to 10Ks, then we do halves, then we do full marathons. But the 10K remains a classic distance, doesn't it? It's a real measure of, I guess, of your pace, of your stamina. And it's not too long like a half marathon and not too short like a 5K.
No, I mean, it's a very nice distance. That's the distance that I tended to specialize as well in when I was doing triathlon. I did the Olympic distance racing. There was always a 10K run off the bike. So it's a distance I'm very familiar with and I have battled through many, many times. But it's in the running circles. Again, it's one of the premier races and it's a nice race to do because it's long enough to be a test and a good challenge, but not so long that it takes days to recover from and you have to give up your whole day to do it.
Yeah, indeed. You know, and you as a former professional triathlete representing New Zealand, this was something, as you mentioned, that you're very familiar with. But the way that you train will probably be a bit different to the way that I would train as kind of a fun runner, as a weekend warrior. I mean, are the principles the same between an elite athlete and a sort of weekend athlete?
Yeah, mate, pretty much. They're very, very similar. The things that change are primarily the volume. People who do it for a living, like I used to do, I used to put in 20 to 30 hours a week. Not many amateur athletes have that kind of freedom and time to be able to do that. But in terms of the type of training you do, it should be very similar. Mm. It's just the outputs will change because when someone is very, very fit, they can run at a very high speed at a low intensity versus someone who's not so fit, doesn't have that aerobic engine that's been really conditioned, and they'll have to run a lot slower, even though the effort may be the same.
Okay, I've got it. So, you know, we're looking ahead to the 8th of December. That's when the 10K run is on for the 2018 Standard Charter Singapore Marathon. So the 9th has the longer distances and the 8th has that 10K. So, you know, where we are now, you know, around coming up to just over 2 months out, what kind of volume should we be doing at the moment?
In terms of volume, that's a good question. Probably if you're training specifically for a 10K, you want to do a long run of around 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's probably, you don't need to go much longer than that, regardless of the distance you cover.
Okay.
Some people might cover the 10 or more. Others will cover less. It doesn't overly matter.
So just 90 minutes is the time. That's the longest run you should do in a preparation.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can read probably otherwise, but in my experience, that's been a good number for a lot of people. It's long enough to really develop the aerobic system properly and long enough to build some strength, but not so long that you really put a lot of excess stress on your body and break yourself down.
Okay. And how many times a week should we be running, you know, ahead of this December race? Let's say we're a couple of months out, we're training for the 10K.
Well, I'm a big believer in frequency. So I like people to run as often as they can recover from within their schedule and their time commitments and things like that. For a 10K, like a minimum effective dosage is 3 times a week.
Okay, minimum three times a week.
Yeah, and they don't have to be any fixed distance. You know, they can be anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, hour and a half for the long one in the weekend. The goal is just to run as frequently as you can because when you do that, you don't fully recover from the session before it. And as a result, over time, you start to build strength.
Okay.
And strength is a very, very important component when you run any endurance distance, whether it's 5K or a marathon.
Right. Okay. Now, I know you're getting some questions that you've had from some people through your coached company. People have actually posed some questions because they knew you were going to be talking about this. Can you share a couple of the questions they've asked?
Yeah. So we just touched on one of them.
Okay.
A lot of people want to know how long they need to run and how often they should run.
Mm.
Another one that we get asked all the time is what's better, running to feel, running to pace, or running to heart rate?
Mm.
And the answer is they all matter.
Mm.
I coach our athletes by heart rate for a number of reasons. The main reason is that it responds to a lot of variables. So a lot of other coaches and a lot of athletes don't like heart rate because it responds to dehydration or a bad night's sleep or hot weather. From what I've seen working with people in Singapore, where we tend to all have pretty stressful jobs with long hours and still want to have an active social life and do some training, it's very easy to dig yourself into a hole when you don't take those other things into account. And so heart rate is great because it helps to balance those life stresses with the stresses you get from training.
Oh, I see.
So in the example of dehydration, that is a state of stress. And so if you go out and run and you push yourself harder than you should, you're not going to recover very well and it's going to affect your runs moving forward. So I favor heart rate, but I always advise our athletes to be looking at their pace at the end of a session to see what that average pace was. And the goal of training is that over time, you want to get faster at the same heart rate. That's a sign of efficiency.
Yes.
You don't just want to push harder to do more.
Speaking to Ben Pullum, founder at Coach, to former New Zealand professional triathlete about training for 10K races. You know, I want to ask you something. I was, as you know, I'm a regular runner at East Coast Park, and I usually do about, I guess, anything between 4K up to 7K, and occasionally I'll do a 10K, but in training. This is training. So the other day I was intending to run, and I'm not training for the 10K, but I still like to keep fit. And it was unseasonably cool because, we notice in Singapore, don't we? If it's 28 and at 6:30 in the morning, we notice when it's 24. It was 24 degrees. And I'd already run the previous day and I wasn't planning to run. And I think I've told you off air, I was at a crazy day of fitness, playing tennis and swimming, and I was going to give myself just a walk. And I'm like, it's so cool. I want to run now. Is that okay to do that when you're training for a 10K to kind of – if you feel that the conditions may be more appealing? Or would you say you need to be just looking at the days that you've trained?
No, I mean, the whole thing when it comes to fitness is load and recovery. So if you feel like you're recovered from the
I felt I recovered.
Then going out and doing some extra, so long as the intensity is right and it's not too hard.
Yeah, it was an easy run. Yeah.
So in that situation, it's a good thing to do. And it's rare that the weather gets that cool here, so you may as well leverage it.
Yeah.
From my side, I love it when it's like that because when the weather is cooler, the body's under less stress, heart rate stays lower, and our guys are able to produce more in those training runs. They run faster.
Is that right? When the temperature's lower, even in Singapore, say 28, you and I look at the weather. We know the difference between 28 at 6:30 in the morning or 6 in the morning and 24. It's sizable, isn't it, when it comes to training?
Yeah, it makes a very big difference, yeah.
So you'd say that, that'll affect your heart rate. It'll affect everything to do with your output.
Yeah, it affects your sweat rate and how much you're sweating and losing. It affects your heart rate for sure. And typically, like when your body's under less stress in those kind of situations, you produce more at the same effort.
Mm.
And that's never a bad thing.
No, exactly. Okay, what else have people been asking you?
Racing strategies is a common one as we get closer to race day.
Yep.
So a lot of people do the training, but then they make some silly mistakes on the race.
I told you off air, that's me. I was the champion of the training run, and I was absolutely terrible in the race. Not always terrible. And as I told you off air, when I had no expectations, I did okay. But when I had lots of expectations and I trained, thought about it, rarely performed well.
If it makes you feel any better, I was the same way, mate. I was maybe performing at a slightly higher level than you, but
yes, very
I was still a better trainer than I was a racer, unfortunately.
And a lot of people are like that. So how can you help them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging situation. As an athlete who had to win prize money and get certain places and races to get into other races and things like that.
To pay for your accommodation, your airfares and all that.
Exactly. Like it lends itself to that outcome focus. And in amateur running, a lot of people here focus on a PB or they focus on like qualifying for Boston or something like that.
Yes.
Like these are external focuses. And when I moved to my last coach, 2006, I want to say, he gave me a good kick in the bum and said, my mindset's wrong. You need to focus on the process. The process is the small things that you do, which eventually lead to the outcome. And the beautiful thing about moving in that direction is that you can have fun.
Yeah.
Because you stop worrying about all that nonsense, whether
you're results.
Running fast enough or, whether or not you're going to achieve that goal.
Mm.
And you just go out and you do the work. And if you have confidence in the work that you're doing, more often than not, when you get on that start line, you're well prepared and you tend to execute well because you're not as stressed about the result.
Yeah.
And within the year of transitioning my mindset to that process focus, I went from, I can't remember exactly, but it was around 160th in the world to about 53rd.
In the triathlon.
And yeah, I got
rankings.
A little bit fitter, but it was more
the mindset
and just taking the pressure off myself and freeing me up to enjoy the process.
So how can those 10K runners apply that to their race on December the 8th?
So in terms of training, like, that's what you need to be thinking about. Don't worry about your goal pace. Worry about getting out there and just showing up, whether it's 3, 4, 5 times a week. Mm. Do the training. Get your 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night.
Mm.
Stay hydrated. Mm. Eat good food.
Mm.
That's the
process. Keep the weight off.
Keep the weight down, yeah. Exactly. That's the process when it comes to training.
Mm.
Now, on race day, it's a different thing. There's a whole series of circumstances that tend to make it hard for us.
Yeah, like we get up at 3 a.m. and then we have to get our race pack and then we have to think about where we're going to put our valuables and we have to get down to wherever the Padang or wherever it is. And, you know, it's all stress, right?
Yeah. So I don't like that at all. And I've got to the point where I used to checklist everything.
Mm.
So I would pack my gear the day before the race using a checklist
because, mm-hmm.
again, it takes the less I have to think
on the actual morning,
the better I am. So
yeah.
in the night before,
yeah.
I had a bag, I had my checklist, I just tick off what I needed to take to the race, so I didn't have to think about that. Next morning, I'd wake up, had a checklist on what I needed to do, have breakfast, drink 500 mils or whatever, take a leak, you know, everything I needed to do
yeah.
so that I wouldn't forget and I could just feel confident that I was doing the process well.
Right.
And then you get to the start line and that's where all hell breaks loose. There's thousands of others.
People elbowing you and you're trying to get, and it's so sweaty, you're standing there for seems like an eternity, right?
Yeah, it does. And it brings with it a whole host of things. So as soon as you get there, you hear the music pumping, you see all the people, the body fires adrenaline.
Mm.
And adrenaline is a fight or flight hormone.
Yeah.
It elevates heart rate, which is not a good thing.
That's not what you want.
And it excites you, right?
Yeah.
And then the horn goes, and beside you are a whole bunch of, like, literally in the Singapore Marathon case, thousands and thousands of other people who, for the most part, don't know what they're doing either.
Mm.
And they start much faster than they need to because
yeah.
they've got that adrenaline
yeah.
hit as well, and they're so excited.
Mm.
And out you go, and you start too fast. And that sets off a chain reaction. When you start too fast, you build up lactic acid, you fatigue your muscles, you burn your glycogen, you sweat, and over time, those things are very fatiguing, and the end result, you begin to slow down. If you want to be a good athlete and you want to maximize your fitness, you need to do that in reverse. You need to start conservatively and just gradually build your effort as the race goes by. The hard thing about that is you need a tremendous amount of self-control.
That's true. And look, I can totally relate to what you're talking about because I've been there and I've run like a sprinter, you know, I run like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
And I'm like telling myself, don't do this. And I think I told you about my last time you were here. I told you about when I tried to break 20 minutes for a 5K in Denver, Colorado at altitude. And I ended up going over 21 minutes, but The first mile was like 6:39 or something like that. It was ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I just died.
Yeah, we all do that.
Yeah.
I think a good example we can actually point to, a recent example, is Berlin Marathon. So the Berlin Marathon happened last weekend.
Yes,
and,
correct.
And there was a world record time, 2:01, which is crazy fast. But he ran that in a negative split, meaning that the second half marathon of that marathon was faster than his first half marathon.
Right. And that's what you should be aiming for in a 10K, would you say?
Ideally. Any distance you're going to do, you want to run an even split or a subtle negative split where you run the second half of the race a fraction faster than the first half.
And I always say to myself, just slow down. Just take it easy, you know, and don't get that excitement and adrenaline pumping through. Because you feel like you're slacking off, don't you? Because you're going so slow.
Yeah, it comes with experience.
Mm.
You know, like racing is a skill. It's like playing the guitar. You don't just become like Ed Sheeran or Carlos Santana on day one, right?
Yeah.
Like they put hours and hours into that. And racing is no different.
Mm.
You have to go there with a plan. And the plan is to run that second half as fast or faster than the first half. You need to practice it.
Yeah. All right. Some final thoughts about training for a 10K from Ben Pullum, the founder at Coached. What else would you say? What other little things? I think I shared before about don't wear new clothes in a race because they'll chafe and I've done that.
That's very good advice.
Yeah. Don't wear new clothes. Don't wear new socks. Don't wear new shoes. That's a no-brainer. But don't take supplements you're not used to taking because they're free.
Exactly. Always do what you've practiced. And in regards to practice between now and race day, you need to now, if you haven't started, you need to be training already. Mm-hmm. It takes time to build endurance and strength. The body learns speed pretty quickly, actually, once you have that endurance and strength. So at the moment, your focus needs to be on some low intensity, conversational pace running to yes. build that aerobic system. And that's a very big mistake that most people are making.
So you're running slow enough that you can talk to your friend as you run.
Yeah.
Most
people are not doing that because right. we all have an ego. So yeah, you need exactly. to run easy enough that you properly condition that aerobic system.
Yeah.
And then you need to introduce some strength. So I like to do that via hills.
Mm.
It's a little tricky in this country, but it's very, very beneficial.
Mm.
Hills are speed work in disguise.
And stairs, maybe? And
stairs are fantastic as well if you can't get that. Mm. Other things like air squats in the middle of your run are useful.
Mm.
And then as you get closer to race day, so 4 or 5 weeks before race day, that's when you want to bring in some intensity. That's when you want to do the things that will really build your speed endurance.
Okay. Quicker runs.
It's a hard thing to get your head around. Like most people think that they're limited by their speed. They think if they want to run a 25-minute 5K, for example, that they need to run 5-minute pace and they have an issue with speed. They're not fast enough to run that 25 mm-hmm. minutes.
Mm.
But most people can run 1 kilometer at 5 minutes.
Of course, yeah. Right? 1 kilometer,
the issue
no
is they can't sustain it.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they
get
so
tired.
So that's not a function of speed. And so you need to show your body the right type of training that's going to build that speed endurance, that ability to maintain that desired pace for the length of the race that you're going to do. And that should happen in the last 5 weeks. That's when you do those key race-specific intensity sessions.
So if there's anyone out there wants to reach out to you to ask you some questions about training for 10Ks, can they do that?
Facebook.com/coachfitness. We're active on there. You can check out coach.fitness. We put up a blog post every second Tuesday. I put a lot of time into those, trying to teach you guys how you can train better and get more from the training that you're doing. Or email us at hello@coach.fitness and we'll always get back to you.
All right. Many thanks to Ben Pullum. Learn from the mistakes that I've made running 10Ks. Really appreciate your insights as people prepare for that 2018 Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon 10K on the 8th of December 2018. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Jason.